you start, you know, being wild, start seeing women and stuff like that. And he couldn't do that no more. Then another medicine man, this one guy don't believe him, couldn't believe. He's a medicine man, you know. And this medicine man knew it. He's wondering, what can I do to make him believe? So they were riding along in an inboard motor. And you know, they had flywheel, big round thing in the front. He said, well, what I'll do, I'll just split the thing in half while the engine is running. And slap it back together. Maybe he'll believe. So he just saw that the thing came apart. The engine is still running. He just grabbed both pieces of the flywheel, slap it back together. Kept on going. And after that, he looked for a crack after the engine was stopped. Mm-hmm. Nothing, just all smooth. I don't remember who he was when I heard that story too. You hear about, you hear other stories about medicine men that used to go under the ice around here in the winter in a little boat, come out along the coast somewhere around there. Do whatever they want to do, then they come back. Come out of the same water hole. See. Oh, yes. Even now. Even now, we warn each other, especially the younger people, when they go to other villages long ways away, to watch out how you talk. Don't laugh at people, you know, that look funny or crippled. Don't make any kind of remarks. Because, you know, you don't know, it's Hotlanta, you know. But I don't know if there's any more medicine people. I guess the medicine people used to be all over, even down long, lower 48. We hear stories from. I mean, met some people down there, even not too long ago. What else? Well, I talked about it a little bit yesterday. You remember I told you I used to borrow that inboard motor on Saturday nights, and I used to go down Caltex, see Josephine, and it used to take me 6 hours or so to come home to work. But let me start from the beginning when I first met Josephine. I believe it was in April. She used to work in Canada at that time. She worked there for about 3 or 4 years. And she was a good friend of my Auntie Jessie. As a matter of fact, they were relations, cousins, I think. And she was passing through town. I don't know where she stopped. She was staying with someone in town anyway. She's spending a night or two. And My aunt invited her for supper. So she ate with us. And for one reason or another, I just glanced at her and to myself, I wonder if she'd be my wife. And I glanced at her again. No, I don't think so. I think I look for someone else, I thought, you know. That was all. Must be 1957. Yeah, about 1957. No. 1958. Yeah, because we were going around for only about 4 or 5 months, I guess. Well, anyway, the next time I saw her was in May or June, early June or late May. She came down to see my friend. I talk about quite a bit too, Ray Ambrose. That was her boyfriend. She came down to see him. But I guess it's God's will. He was in Cayo. And she ended up in my house one evening, one night. And she just started to drink. She never drank all her life. And just a few months before that, we started hearing people saying she started to drink. And that was news. You know, big news, headlines, because she was, maybe 20, 19, 20, somewhere around there. And even girls started to drink, some of the girls started to drink earlier, and you hear about some young girl passed on stuff. So she just started to drink 2-3 months before that. And she was drinking that evening. So she came into the house and we'd start visiting, talking. Soon before we knew it, it was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And that was all. Never did anything funny, or even asked her to see her again, you know. Anyway, I believe she went back to town that next day, or the day after. Anyway, her boyfriend never came back yet. He was still in Cayo. And then we started to write to each other. She was in town now. We started to write to each other. I don't know who wrote first, but we were answering each other's right away. We just fell in love, I guess. And then she quit to help her mother to go fishing around July. So I just started to go see her once in a while. During the summer, weekends, just go down and spend the night in Caltech. We used to go visit her only during the day. Her mom was still living at that time. They were living 1 mile, 1.5 mile below Caltech. Around August, I think, somewhere the 1st of August, I asked her to get married. She said, okay. So, we went to see Father Bo. He had announcements, 3 announcements we used to have in those days. Now I think it's down to two. And who got married? August 22nd, 1958.
What's these three announcements?
It's just saying that so and so and so and so is gonna be get married. And if anyone has any objection, just see the father. During the mass on Sundays. So we had a pretty big wedding. We got a lot of gifts.
I can see the water focus out from there.
We got married. I had my own house then. I had built it before. I borrowed money to build it, I think.
Oh, it's all?
Because I was figured $15 a month for 12 months. If I waited another year, it would cost me so much money for rent, and it would cost a little bit more for labor. So if I built this year, I'll be that much ahead, I figured. So I got my uncle Romeo Stickman, he's still living, to get me logs. He got me logs. That's the building we see in the center of town with a flagpole. Nikolai. Josephine. Her mother's name was Marie. She died not too long ago. Maybe 5-6 years ago. And her father's name was Paul. And Josephine has one other brother, Prasker. She had three sisters, they all died. Rita, Anna, I forgot to. And a brother, my favorite brother-in-law, Leo. We never found him. We tried and tried and tried to find him. Even the next spring, try to find him. We used to go up and down the river, way down along the islands. Never found his body. He was coming up from Caltech alone, and he picked up my buddy Ray Ambrose down here at 6 Mile. That's how Ray was with him. And Ray's father drowned too, in the spring. He fell through the ice, right around 2 Mile. They never found him either. Yes.
Pardon?
Yes, I believe at the start it was very hard, but now this is her home. She doesn't want to go back to Canada. It's even hard for her to visit down there for a night or so. I guess after losing most of her family. And we had 9 children. Paul, Cosmos was our third. He died when he was 2. All the children were Christian, Marie, Paul, Simeon Jr. We always call him Pete. Kevin, we call him KD, Marvin, Eric, and Vera.
How old is the
oldest one? About 21, I believe.
Is that me?
She went to 3 years of college. And I guess she's taking a year off this year. I hope she finishes. A lot of people want her to finish all right. But, I don't want to force her. She was taking business. One of the reasons why I didn't want her to, I didn't want to force her this year. Last year I forced her to find her. She made it through the year. One of the reasons why I didn't want to force her. My adopted brother, Lonnie Cipri, who's finished college last year. He's going to business college in Anchorage right now. Taking up business, told me that not to force her. They were forcing this one boy down somewhere around Lower 48 where he was going to school. And he knew the kid. He was very nice. And they keep forcing him.
Wait.
And one day they just found him. Blew his head off. He scared me. So this year I'm not encouraging her to go to school. Just let her do what she wants. Besides, I think she can face life much easier than me after going through 2 years of college. I went only to 6th grade. I'm sure she learned a lot more than I did, you know, to start off. So Marie went to 1 year too, but she fell in love. She's married. She lives in Facebook. Pardon? David Dayton. Franklin Dayton's son.
Well, what kinds of books do you have for your children?
Pardon?
What kind of hopes or dreams or what do you hope for your children?
Just to get a good education, but I'm having a hard time getting grants for them and stuff. And not only grants, I seem to be discriminated, you know, on kind of my job. My children have a hard time to get even youth corps jobs. First time this summer, one of my boys was working. But I look around and I see other people that make 10 times what I make, I guess. Maybe 20. I see 2-3 members of their families working. But because I'm the postmaster and I have steady income, my children have a hard time to get jobs.
Is it because most of the jobs are for young people whose parents don't make that much money?
Pardon?
Is that because that most of the jobs are for people who don't have steady
jobs?
Yes.
Yes. I remember one of the first things about getting a job. Chris, I just finished school. Finished high school. He just graduated. And someone came down from Fairbanks. They had $10,000 left over or something like that. And they wanted to spend it in some kind of program in villages. So they divided it among two or three villages. You'll have to get, I forgot, 3,000 or 5,000 for 10 girls to work 60 days or something like that. So someone comes down from Fairbanks, a native guy, outside native. No. He came down to hire 10 girls, you know, that finished high school, that might be planning to go to college. So we heard about it, and Chris and I went down and asked, but they wouldn't take her. So the next morning I got up early, I brought her down. And this person in town had 9 girls waiting outdoors. One more. So he comes uptown to try to wake up another girl he made, I believe, 2 or 3 trips uptown. In the meantime, this person that came down from Fairbanks was very sore about it, but I guess he couldn't do anything. Finally, the girl came down, the 10th girl. So I told her, let's go home. On our way home, about halfway home, around the church down here, I glanced at her. I glanced at Chris Ann, and I saw tears coming down out of her eyes. She wasn't crying or anything. I seen tears coming out of her eyes. I looked away, but yet I didn't see her. After all, we went back into the house. I told her, you have to go to college. That's the only way you can get a job around here, is to have more schooling. You can't get a job because you're the postmaster's daughter. I want you to finish college. And she said, okay, I'll go. Yeah, we had a hard time to get grants for her. But we finally did. I had to pay for her one year. And, but the person that did that is trying to make it up to her. I don't want to mention any names, but he's one of the officials in town. I think he's planning on having her work over in over next door, you know, but then the one building, being a clerk or something like that. Maybe half time. Anyway. She had the schooling for it, and she's good. I let her help me sometimes in post office, and I can tell she's, all you have to do is tell her things once.
You've been involved with the school and school board and school things for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get involved, or did you decide you wanted to?
People just voted for me to be on the school board. And I just got in. I never ran. But I think the school board after they voted. And then every time, you know, it's election time and my term comes up, even the teachers come by and encourage me to run again. And I've been the president of the school board for 3 or 4 years.
What kind of things do you do?
We approve things that the maybe the teachers or the principal decide to do student travel.
You make suggestions?
Yes, oh yes, we make suggestions.
What kinds of things do you? I
think that were important to suggest to the
Yes,
we talked about some of the people that we call it the traveling important stuff. Yeah. We work on student policy, you know, the booklet, trying to make our own booklet with students being late. Things to wear, I believe, and things like that. And, I think we're all, our terms are all up. We're supposed to be voting again on October 2nd. The same time we're going to be voting for member on the district school board. This year on the district school board for our area, Yvonne Sapri, Father Bartels, and George Madras, I believe, is running for that seat. The last time Ivan ran, Ivan is my brother, Father Salt, Father Sebesta from Caltech ran against him, but Ivan won. So I'm anxious to see the outcome of this one. And on the school board, the community school board, there's Pauline Peters, Peter Damask, Marianne Patsy, Sister Evelyn, and myself. I think our terms are all up. We have to vote for a new community school board. Yes, I'm sure I'm going to run again. I like to be involved in it too because I have children, you know, going to school. Besides all those responsibilities, I used to be on the council too, you know. And I never used to have an adding machine in those days. I had to add in the post office mentally, you know, maybe add 50 money orders in your mind, being on the council. I used to get headaches. I guess I was involved in too many things. So Josephine told me to get out of the council. Just tell them you you don't want to be on the council anymore, because and see if you'll still get the headaches. So I said, okay. I never used to run for council. They just vote for me. In the next council, the general election, I told them, I just don't want to be in the council. You know, I declined. You don't vote for me. So I got out. That was 18 years ago, maybe. I never get headaches no more since.
Too many things to think about, too many
words. Yeah.
What kinds of things would you be concerned about on the council? What kind of worries
would you? Well, one thing I have to treasure. I had to do a lot of adding. I had to take care of the money. And I had to make treasurer's report. I guess that was one of the reasons why I used to get too much adding. I never got an adding machine until a couple of years after. But even after I got out of council, remember, I used to get headaches, but not so hard, kind of mild headaches. Then I went up to Kaikuk once to see the postmaster up there. And she had an old adding machine. I asked her to buy it, if I can buy it. Sold it to me cheap. After that, no more. My mind was just clear. And I started enjoying my work more easier. All I had to do was press buttons.
So now, write with a pencil to add up, or you get it just in your head?
I had to do it in your head. I had 50 money orders in the column, and 50 fees in the column. Maybe 6 columns. Sometimes 9. 18 columns altogether. And then after that, I bought an electric adding machine. I couldn't go without adding machine no more after. I'd never go back the old way. I bought an electric adding machine, which was still easier. Just press buttons, totally. Now the post office is supplying an electric one, which is even better. I know where the keys are. I can work fast. I used to make mistakes. Sometimes, a lot of times, I used to be money short because we had no tape, and no record of, you know. But now, it scares me. Honey, you're cashing me. Oh, anywhere from $500 to $1,600 check. No.
And I
don't mean how I make. I added up twice, you know, the money orders. Maybe it's $1,600 money order, so I'll subtract $401.10. And then it's the total. Subtract $401.10 from that, and then total all the way down. And then after I make the money orders, then I make a tape of all the money orders, you know, in one after the other, 400, 400, 300, 200, whatever. And if it comes out, I put the total on top, $1,600, maybe 55 cents after I add all the money orders and the fees. And if it comes out to the same, you know, it's right. It has to be right. And lately, the last 10 years maybe, I hardly ever come up short. And if I do come up short, it wouldn't be very much. I think the last time I came up with $100 short. And I had to dig in my pocket for it.
When you got short, you have to pay for it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
We've seen a lot of things change as far as the way people do things, with what kind of tools they use and things like that. How do you feel about those changes?
Well, for one thing, we'll never go back to the old ways, like from a chainsaw. You'd never go back to a sweet saw. Same way with a wheelbarrow. I'd never go back to a wheelbarrow. I remember one of my cousins telling me that, you know, a few years ago, if they start being roads, I bet you'd be the first one to buy a truck. And sure enough, I was one of the first ones to buy a truck. I think we went through about 5 or 6. Maybe this is the 6th one. Back there at the bridge, all those old trucks. Most of those ones I bought. And building houses, we used to use auger and, you know, a hand. Now all you have to do is put the auger at the end of a drill and just push down on the drill. Save you time and build your house faster. And if you have to pay for labor, it's cheaper because it takes a lot of time, you know, drilling it by hand. Our life is just much easier by electricity. And long term. Anything else?
I just wonder about how those changes affect young people when they grow up too, and what differences you might see that your kids face different than what you face because of the kinds of tools that people use.
How's the weather out there?
Well, with all the changes, I think when...
Daddy, what about saying 3 or something?
1,500? Yeah. That's what I was going to say now. Oh, I think by the time our children are old enough, we might even be... different changes, you know, a lot of changes in tools and stuff like that. Make it more easier for them.
Mm.
I can think of. I think so. Yeah. With the land claims and everything. I have a hard time, even now, I still have a hard time understanding all the things that go with land claims. I hear people that are even involved in it, you know, saying that sometimes it's hard for them to understand too.
Do you think all these changes are confusing to young people?
Maybe to some. I don't think, most of them, I don't think they even think about it. You know, they just take it for granted, I guess. I'm really surprised at my children.
This must be the eye of her.
They know more about world affairs and stuff like that. And when I was their age, they surprise me sometimes, you know, telling me about things they hear on the radio. But they're very much excited about World Series, about football games, about the NBA, pulling for the Sonics. And, anytime, you know, something big happens, even election, national election, anxious to see who's going to be the next president, who's going to get the most votes. Even the governor, you know, they surprised me. So I think the children, these days, well, they're more exposed to news media than we were, you know. So, I'm sure that other children around town are the same. But it really gave me a thrill to see my little voice, Eric, asking, you know, who I think is going to be the next president, or who I'll pull for in the World Series, NBA or football.
Since you're talking about their interest in the world, theirs, you mentioned going to Rome.
Mm-hmm. I was about 8-9 years old, I think, when I first made up my mind to go to Rome. In 1973 was supposed to be a holy year, I thought. And the holy doors over there open every 33 years.